Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thanks for listening to Gwen and Chris On Demand.
Gwen and Chris On Demand is where you'll find all the fresh new content we post after every show.
There are a ton of ways to listen, so save the excuses. Go to 97.3thefansd.com or radio.com or the radio.com app.
And don't forget, you can find us on smart speakers as well. Just tell your smart speaker to play 97.3 The Fan and you're done.
You can hear Gwen and Chris every weekday from 3 to 7 p.m. only on 97.3 The Fan.
May I have your attention please? Now, taking the airwaves on 97.3 The Fan, San Diego's own Gwen and Chris.
Featuring Tony Gwynn Jr.
Booty, rocking everywhere.
And Chris Ello.
None of them are like the Ice Princess or whatever.
Ice Princess.
Gwynn and Chris starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
Second, by Yastrzemski out there, going to have another chance out in right field. Yastrzemski, great jump, dive off his glove, rolling toward the very corner, on the way. Run, Luis. Run, son. Going to third with a pop-up slide.
Trying to shove Luis Urias down my throat like everybody else is?
Just a little bit.
He hit a triple last night. Yastrzemski should have caught the ball. Welcome back to Gwen and Chris. 5:04 is the time. Padres with a 5-3 win last night over the San Francisco Giants. Yeah, I'm not high on Luis Urias yet.
I know we talked about it.
High on how good everybody thinks he's going to be. I'm really high on that. I'm just not high on how good he actually is. Not yet. I haven't given up. I mean, I don't think the book is closed, but I need to read more. I need to read a whole bunch more before I can. You ever get that? Like somebody tells you, in fact, I'm sure it's happened.
Okay.
Chris Ello, Matt Scraby, Tony Gwynn Jr. is off doing TV. We'll rejoin for our Cal Quantrill interview coming up shortly, but somebody tells you, hey, you got to stream this show.
Oh, yeah, it happens all the time.
The greatest show I've ever seen. It is, I'm not kidding you, Scraby. It is so good.
Yeah,
it is incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, like Breaking Bad, plus Seinfeld, plus Cheers, plus, I mean, it's every great television show that you've ever seen or heard of. This one tops them all. You've got to watch this. Please, you know what? No way. Please do me a favor. And, like, guarantee me that you'll watch this show. And you're like, yeah, okay, all right. And seriously, you think to yourself, I'm actually going to watch it because there I have to see what this person
hype
thought was so great. And you watch for, like, 10 minutes and you're like,
what?
What is going on? I can't do this. And you'd only make it, like, 15 minutes. Then they call you, like, a week later. How'd you like the show? Wasn't it incredible? And you're like,
I watched 15 minutes.
Yeah.
How could you think that? What?
Right.
This is the best show of all time. What's wrong with you?
Like with Breaking Bad, I've recommended that to everybody, but it doesn't mean that it's
like
a guarantee. You didn't like it? Okay.
No.
That's what my point is it doesn't mean that everyone's going to think it's the greatest show of all time just because you do.
I see where you're
going. I know there's a lot of people who agree with me that Breaking Bad is one of the great shows of all time, but not everybody does, and I get that. All right, so you can tell me how great Luis Urias is, and I hope you wind up being right. But I need to watch more episodes. I do. I mean, I'm sorry. 189 is not enough to convince me that, this guy's, the next coming of Rogers Hornsby.
I know that I mean,
you don't even know who Roger Hornsby is, do you? You just kind of went past that.
I did. I was like, I could make a joke right here, but I'm just going to keep going.
I could have said Joe Morgan.
He was on Sunday Night Baseball with John Miller all those years.
He was also one of the great second basemen of all time.
For the Reds.
And as was Roger Hornsby well before that. That's why I threw those names out. But anyway,
made some mistakes in the field, and I know that people are going to make mistakes, but these are big mistakes at big times in games.
He threw a game away the other night.
Exactly.
Threw a game away the other night. There's no question. But, you know, that's not why I'm not infatuated with him. The reason I'm not infatuated is because of that batting average and the fact that he doesn't hit fastballs too well yet. And I said yet because he might get around to hitting them better. Right now I find Urias, that's the other thing I don't like about him, by the way, through no fault of his own. He's got to get a name that I can pronounce. It drives me crazy. I pronounce it differently every single time I say it. But
Urias.
Listen to the PA guy down at Petco Park. Even he announces his name different every single time. So I don't feel so bad. But Luis Urias. I think right now has to, if he stopped playing today, like he didn't do anything more, like I stopped reading the book right now, he goes down in my book as a 4A player. Do you know what that is, by the way?
It's not, I'm going to say it in terms that I'm not trying to be mean. He's not good enough to be a major leaguer, but he's better than a AAA-er.
That's not mean. That's exactly what it means.
Well, I mean, who am I to call him out for not being a good major leaguer? Like, I'm not a major leaguer.
Well,
so.
You're not. You have a right to have your opinion as to whether or not you think he's a major league caliber second baseman based on what you've seen so far.
Yeah.
And you have every right to have an opinion on that. But I do know this. Every time he goes down to AAA, he hits .390. With like 60 doubles and 42 triples and 35 home runs. And I haven't seen anything near that yet. It's yet. So I'm closing the book. I'm just saying we got a ways to go. Hey, by the way, on a happier note, can I get a round of applause, please, Scraby? How long is it going to take you to find that button? Oh, very good. Wow, that was fast.
Yes.
How fast does it take you to find the dolphin sounder? Wow. Okay, let's see.
This is a fun game.
How long does it take you to find you don't know what's going on with your mouth?
Oh, ooh, that's a good one.
Struggling for that one.
I don't know what's going on with my mouth right now.
It's pretty good. You're pretty good.
What about this one?
Yeah, Thomas loves that one. That one and the Mike Myers one about I am
Ladies
now.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm about to travel through time. I bid you adieu.
I like that one too.
Wow.
All right. How about pickles?
Oh, no. Pickles is a tough one for me because it's not. Oh, there it is.
Pickles.
Okay. You got them all. Pretty good.
Oh, wait, what about this one? Last one.
Here's a concept. Bite me.
We don't use that one enough.
We don't.
Need that one more. We got to put that into the rotation more often.
Sounds good.
But all right, back to the round of applause.
Oh yeah,
for our the newest member of the Gwen and Chris show.
All right.
Yeah, our good friend Skylar.
Oh,
she's 1-0.
Oh yeah,
she picked correctly last night in her college football predictions. As did our contestant Mike from Lakeside. They both had Utah beating BYU.
Yes,
but I'm honest. I wasn't like nervous or anything, but I want Skylar to do well. You know, I mean, this is a new segment.
Yeah.
And she's taking it very seriously and working very hard on making her predictions on these college football games. And if you don't know, we're going to do a Beat Skylar college football pick'em segment every week. And, of course, this is the first week, so we don't know how it's going to all turn out. But Skylar got a win last night, as did our contestant Mike. So they're both 1-0. Utah beat BYU, which makes me happy just in general. By the way, did you watch any of the UCLA game last night?
I did not.
I didn't watch too much, but I will say this. I saw about the fourth quarter, some of the fourth quarter. UCLA got hosed. These replay officials in college football, you think they're bad in Major League Baseball or the NFL.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay, those are like probably the good replay officials.
Wow.
So that means that college football gets like the second stringers, at least as far as I can tell, because UCLA was down by 10 points. with about 5 minutes to go in the game. So it looked like it was all over, right? Cincinnati had the game, 10-point lead.
Yeah.
And Cincinnati had the ball, so they're running out the clock. And you're thinking, this game's over. And all of a sudden, Cincinnati guy runs into the line and fumbles.
Mm-hmm.
UCLA picks it up, runs it back for a touchdown. Well, now it's a 3-point game, and there's still 5 minutes to play. I'm thinking, you know what, UCLA's got a chance now to pull this game out. Oh, no. Oh, no. We've got to look at the replay to see if that guy was down when he fumbled. And there was nothing conclusive. I mean, I looked at the replay just like everyone else. There was nothing conclusive that said he was definitely down. At least I didn't think so. So I think they should have let the play stand, and it should have been a touchdown for UCLA, and it could have turned everything around, but they overturned the call. They said they took the touchdown off the board.
Was it one of those, like, and how could they possibly have changed that?
No, how could they have changed it?
Yeah.
Right. Because they shouldn't have changed it. It's got to, what's the old saying? It has to be like conclusive evidence to change something.
Be a 100% certain.
100% certainty. I would say it was not. And I'm not a UCLA homer by any stretch, but I just think they got hosed out of that call, and that could have changed the outcome of the game. But I will say this. I'm sure the Aztecs were watching the game.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they have their game this week against Weber State on Saturday, but they play UCLA next week. So certainly the Aztecs are going to be paying attention. And one thing I noticed last night, and I'm sure Rocky Long saw the same thing. The UCLA quarterback, and I want to look his name up, Dorian Thompson Robinson,
mm-hmm.
is about an accurate a passer as you are.
I'm a terribly accurate passer.
Are you better than 8 for 26?
No.
With two interceptions?
No.
That was really bad, though. I was all over the place last night, and I'm going to give a little credit to the Cincinnati pass rush, okay? They put a little heat on him, but by and large, this guy can't throw. Or at least not accurately. He did throw a couple of touchdown passes, but one of them was one of those screen plays.
Yeah.
And then the kid ran like 80 yards. So I like the Aztecs' chances to beat UCLA. Now, of course, the Aztecs' luck, this Thompson Robinson will probably be letter perfect with every pass he throws next week against the Aztecs. But last night, he couldn't hit the side of a barn. he really couldn't. So that's something to keep in mind when the Aztecs play UCLA next week. All right, we'll take a quick timeout. Still to come, Cal Quantrill, our Friar Friday interview. That's at the bottom of this hour. But next, the coach John Quintero checks in with us. Our Friday's Lolita's High School Spotlight is coming up. So stay tuned for that. It's Quinn and Chris. Chris Ello, Matt Scraby sitting in right there. Will Galvez is here, too.
Mm-hmm.
That's good to know.
Chris is spaghetti.
If you haven't been with the Gwen and Chris show in the past, something that happens on an everyday basis, it's become quite a normal part of the show, is that at the breaks, I take off my headset. And then these aren't headsets, earbuds. Yeah, right, earbuds. I take off the earbuds, place them down carefully on the desk in front of me. And then when I go back to them, when it's time for the next segment, every single time they are wrapped up like spaghetti. I don't know how in the world it happens every time.
We go.
But it does.
I say, Chris, did you spaghetti again?
Yeah. And that was just a spaghetti moment there. That's why we heard the music playing for like, welcome back to the show. Chris will be with you in about an hour once he gets his spaghetti headphones unraveled. All right. So they are unraveled, and joining us now on the SDCCU hotline, the great coach, John Quintero. It's our Friday night Lolita's High School Spotlight. Hello, Coach John Quintero. How are you?
I'm doing well, Chris. I'm out here at Grossmont High School. Our Braden Superintendent and myself, we got the call tonight between Modern Day Catholic, the Crusaders, coming from the South Bay out to the East County to take on the Grossmont Foothillers. Both teams coming off nice wins last week. So looking forward to calling the game on radio.com coming up right at 7 o'clock tonight.
Well, I'll tell you, you know I will listen to all the games last year, especially as we got down the stretch. And I think Braden does a terrific job. I know you do a terrific job. The two of you guys together have the nicest, neatest, cleanest boards I've ever seen for any football announcers. I mean, it's incredible the prep that you guys put into calling these prep games. Tell me a little bit about the game last week, Granite Hills Poway. Now that Tony's not here, we can talk a little bit about that. It was a great game, you told me, and Granite Hills ended up winning that one, right?
Yeah, and I think both teams are going to have pretty good years. I mean, Poway scored early. Granite Hills kind of started picking it up a little bit in the second quarter. I think as they got towards the end of the third quarter, I think they were up by about 11 points, and Poway had a great comeback. I mean, they actually came back and eventually took the lead, and Granite Hills got the ball late in the ball game, went down and scored. I think it was under 2 minutes to go. Poway got it back, but really couldn't do anything with it. They had one desperation pass on fourth down with just a few seconds to go. It fell incomplete from the 42-yard line, and then there was 1 second left, and Granite Hills knelt down and secured their first victory of the year. But, you know, I thought the only concern I had with those two teams last week, I think both of them, like I said, are going to have pretty good years. Poway coming off the Palomar League Championship a year ago, and Granite Hills shared with Steel Canyon. It was a tri-championship, Steel Canyon, Helix, along with Granite Hills. But the thing that was really concerning to me, Chris, and I'm really anxious to see what happens here tonight. We had several players. I've never done a high school game. In fact, I don't think I've ever done a college game that we saw more players go down with leg cramps throughout the course of the game. And, again, these high school games are starting earlier. I don't know if the conditioning now is what it once was, to be honest with you, because there's a lot of limitations now in practice, how long you can practice, how many times a day you can practice. And, you know, last week was, to be honest with you, it was a little troublesome to me. I'm anxious to see what happens out here tonight at Grossmont, because it's been pretty warm. I'm out here watching the JV game right now, and it's real warm, and I'm anxious to see how the kids respond tonight.
You know, they don't get any preseason games either, right? So they don't get a chance to really get into game shape. I mean, you can only practice so hard, and then you get into a game, and you know how hard these kids want to play. I mean, they're putting everything on the line on every single play. And like you said, they get to the third, fourth quarter, and once you get cramped up, it's pretty much all over, isn't it? You think you can come back from that, but you really can't. It's incredible.
No, and you got to be careful. I mean, you end up hurting a calf muscle or popping your Achilles, like we saw with Kevin Durant. The only thing they do prior to the first game of the year outside of practice, they do have a scrimmage. And those scrimmages are in a controlled environment. You know, you might have the first team out there for 10 plays going against whoever you're scrimmaging for 10 plays. Then you go over and then they'll run the second team in there. So, you know, it's not really a true a game test. So I'm anxious. That's going to be one of the things I'm going to be real anxious to watch and see how these kids hold up in week two tonight.
You know, since you're bringing that up, I want to ask you about the Pac-12. This week or last week was talking about maybe starting to play some games at 9 a.m.
Yeah.
Are these people crazy? I mean, do they care at all about the well-being of these players? I mean, I'm thinking if you had a 9 a.m. football game scheduled, you would have to bus over to the stadium at about 5:30 in the morning, you know, because you got to get there and get all taped up, you got to get it all warmed up, you got to get loosened up, go through all your pregame drills, you know what I'm saying. I mean, what are they kidding with these ideas? I mean, I understand that the Pac-12 would like to get a little more national TV exposure, but it's honestly, TV is too much when it starts affecting the health or the potential health of these kids, don't you think?
Well, there's no question about it. You know, I had Coach Helton on today, and I asked him that question. And actually, I was just pulling into the parking lot, and you guys played a little soundbite from that. And, you know, he could have even gone a little bit deeper in that answer. I mean, he could have pretty much buried the Pac-12. I mean, it's absolutely ludicrous. And the people that would want to do something like that, they've never strapped it on or
had
to get out of bed early on a Saturday morning to go compete. It's tough enough for us parents and grandparents to go out and watch their little kids, grandkids, or their kids play a Saturday morning soccer at 8 o'clock. And, I mean, realistically, let's think about this, Chris. If it's a 9 o'clock kickoff, you've got to be to the stadium at least 2 hours early. So that's 7 o'clock. You got to get up. You got to get out of your hotel, especially if you're on the road. And I know a lot of these home teams stay in a hotel the night before the game. But you also have to have time for the guys to eat,
yeah.
get on the bus, get there. Like you mentioned, get taped, do all the stuff with the training stuff. It's absolutely ridiculous. And, again, people are making rules. They're making big money. And they want to make even bigger money by driving the TV ratings up. And those kids get absolutely nothing out of it rather than having an opportunity to really go out and compete at the highest level. Half of those kids would be sleepwalking through the first half.
Yeah, where's the voice of reason? Somebody standing up somewhere and saying, look, guys, we need to make money, okay, but we need to protect these kids a little bit. I mean, you know, they pay all the lip service to, you know, watching out for the concussions and all of the improvements they've made and all the rule changes they've made. And then they turn around and they're telling me they're willing to play a game at 9 o'clock on a Saturday morning. It's just ludicrous. All right. I'm sorry. I got away from high school and I didn't mean to.
No, that's all right, Chris. And let me say one last thing about that. You know, any rule that is put in has to be to the benefit of the student athlete. Okay. You can't put something in that's going to hurt the athlete. And I think that definitely hurt the student athlete.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Exactly right. All right, well, take care of those kids tonight. If you have to go down on the field yourself at halftime and hand out water to every single kid to keep them from being dehydrated, I expect you down on the field tonight with a water pail. I want you to look just like Adam Sandler down there tonight, the water boy, making sure that you take care of these kids. Make sure everybody comes out of this game healthy tonight.
And you know I'd do it, too.
I know you would. That's why I'm suggesting it. Hey, have a great call tonight, Coach. Radio.com.
Hey, we got to get to the Lolita Student Athletes of the Week.
Oh, that's right. We're handing that out now again. Oh, yeah. See,
yeah,
you caught
one,
me on that. We did. That's right. Week one, we got to get our Athletes of the Week. Thank you, Coach. Yes. Lay them on me.
All right. Well, we're going to give it for the female. Actually, I got to give it to one of my girls up at my alma mater, Megan Kraft, a senior volleyball player, Torrey Pines. Megan led the Falcons last weekend to the California Challenge Championship. She's a senior. She had 4 kills, 3 blocks, 3 service aces to secure the win against Cathedral Catholic, 24-26, 25-14, and 15-8. Megan was named the tournament most valuable player, and you'll love this one. The male athlete of the week is from Valhalla High School. He's a football player, Keegan Baker. Check this out. He carried the ball 21 times last week, 265 yards, 5 touchdowns, as the Norsemen got by University City in a big upset, 34-20, and that snapped Valhalla's 18-game losing streak. So congratulations to Keegan Baker, senior football player at Valhalla, and senior volleyball player at Torrey Pines, Megan Kraft, our first of many Lolita Student Athletes of the Week. And, of course, all the kids that win this award will be at our big banquet at the end of the school year.
I also want to take a second there. Thanks for getting those weekly award winners out, Coach. But I got to feel good for all those kids at Valhalla High School. I used to live out there in that neck of the woods. But you lose 18 football games in a row. I mean, that breaks your heart for a high school kid to have to go through something like that. And so, man, good for those kids to get a win last Friday night. I bet you there was a bunch of tears coming off the field at Valhalla. Finally getting a win like that, because, I mean, it's no fun to lose 2 games in a row, let alone 18.
Well, I guarantee you there was a lot more bounce in their step when they went to practice on Monday afternoon.
There you go. All right, Coach, have fun tonight. Grossmont hosting Mater Day. That's our high school game of the week. The Coach John Quintero on Alita's High School Spotlight. Coach, thanks so much. Have a great Labor Day weekend. We'll see you next week.
Likewise, Chris. Thanks for the time.
You bet you. Thank you. There he is, the great Coach John Quintero, our Lolita's High School Spotlight. Lolita's restaurants here serving great Mexican food, the best Mexican food, San Diego since 1984. All right, when we come back, Fryer Friday picks up again. Cal Quantrill, maybe the best starting pitcher the Padres have had the second half of this season. He will join Tony Gwynn Jr. and myself as the Gwynn and Chris program continues on 97.3 The Fan. Hey, hey, hey. No spaghetti problem that time. I just was taking a break. Somebody tuning in right now is like, what?
Chris's headphones are like just a jumbled
mess. They get
mess
scrambled
at all times.
Every single time. So we call it spaghetti. Welcome back to Gwen and Chris, by the way. Cal Quantrill here in just a second. Something to keep an eye on this weekend. I know that big sports weekend, right? The whole deal. Everything's coming up. College football's getting underway. Some games last night. There's a couple games tonight. Colorado State, Colorado tonight. Good luck to the Rams. Just my wife went there, and if she's in a good mood, then that's good, right?
Yeah.
And you went there, too, which I don't...
For 6 months.
See, that's as long as they could put up with you at Colorado State?
Yeah, we'll just say that.
What'd you think of the
I loved campus. Colorado State. I loved it. Fort Collins was
campus,
a great place. The,
yeah.
the new football stadium is awesome, too.
Yes. I had my lovely wife, Lori, spent... I believe 200 of our hard-earned dollars to buy a brick
outside the stadium. Have you ever seen the brick?
Yes, she made me walk in 9-degree weather 2 years ago when I was there for a women's basketball game to take a picture of the said brick that cost me $200 that has her name on it and is just sitting under a pile of snow outside the new stadium. That makes me like husband of the year material right there.
You know, I think we need to do a segment, Things Mrs. Ello Gets Chris Ello to Do.
Where we couldn't do just one segment.
No.
It would take quite a few segments for all of that. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. You know, they, all these new stadiums do that now, right? You sell the brick. So you make a little, like, because all these schools need more money. Poor Colorado State, just they're just dying for money there,
well,
so they need another couple hundred bucks for my wife and myself to have a brick with her name on it.
Why spend their own money when they can get you to buy a brick for them?
That's exactly right. Exactly right. She did it. But it's funny that you asked, have I ever seen it? Because when I went for the women's basketball later that year, or, you know, we always play in the middle of winter. So in Fort Collins, it's snowing. It's freezing.
And the football stadium's not on campus. It's outside of campus.
It's not on campus. Yeah. It was a good, from where we were staying, we weren't staying on campus either with the basketball. We were about 3.5 blocks from the stadium. But 3.5 blocks isn't much when you're walking through the gas lamp.
No.
But 3.5 blocks when you're walking through a snowstorm is quite a ways. And then... had to find the brick. There's no directions to it. It's not like, hey, the Lori Ello brick is just 200 paces to your left and 100 paces north. I had to like search through all these bricks to find it. And of course it's covered with snow. So it was a heroic effort on my part.
Heroic?
Yes.
Can you imagine?
To find the Lori Ello brick.
Can you imagine how pleasant Chris was during this whole process?
Oh, I was having fun.
I know.
Anyway, good luck to Colorado State tonight. They're playing Colorado. And
Showtime!
Oh, Joe. He's not calling the game, is he?
No.
He's calling the game, I'm tuning in, baby.
Oh, yeah, right.
But no, here's what I think the biggest, the coolest event of the weekend is. And I know we've got baseball and, you know, some key baseball games. And we've got, you know, the college football stuff coming up and some good games. But the one thing, like, if I could watch or had to watch or wanted to watch one thing, it would be this. Tomorrow, Coco Gauff against Naomi Osaka. Okay, you are hilarious. But you're not that funny, because that is going to be a great tennis match. You know who Coco Gauff is. She's this 15-year-old sensation kid who's knocking off everybody. And she is the first. Oh, that wasn't nice.
I rolled my eyes.
Coco is, you know, becoming very quickly one of the real hot athletes now here in the United States. What she did at Wimbledon, now at the U.S. Open, and she's playing the top seed. Naomi Osaka tomorrow. So good luck to Coco on that match tomorrow. I guess maybe I like tennis more than most people, but I think that's quite the match. She's the youngest woman to reach the round of 32 since 1996. So that's 23 years.
That is a long time.
Do you know who the player was who did that 23 years ago? Of course you don't.
No, wait.
You want to guess?
Yeah, Steffi Graf.
How about Anna Kournikova?
She was a good tennis player.
She was better than people thought she was.
Yeah,
everyone
thought
always
she was
said
all
she
about
was
the
terrible.
Look.
Well, she was about the look.
But she was also a decent
tennis
player.
She had a look. I remember hearing an Anna Kournikova story. I don't know if it was true or somebody made it up, but it makes sense that she was walking through the grounds at like the U.S. Open or Wimbledon or one of those tournaments one time, and a couple of guys were oogling her as she walked by.
Jerks.
You know, Anna Kournikova turned and looked at these guys and said, "Yeah, like you have a chance." I don't know if that's true or not, but it kind of it improves the Anna Kournikova.
She's got to handle her own.
Yeah.
Did she turn into? Remember we said we're going to use this more?
Here's a concept. Bite me.
Is that what she told them?
That's what she basically told them, yes. All right, let's go to our interview, Tony Gwynn Jr. and myself on Friar Friday with Padre pitcher Cal Quantrill.
Do you want to know what Padres players are really thinking? We get you closer to the Padres than anyone else in town. It's time to go inside the clubhouse. God, I hope they're all wearing at least a towel. It's Friar Friday right here on 97.3 The Fan.
Joining us now, as you may have guessed from that early call there by Jesse Agler, is Cal Quantrill of the San Diego Padres. Cal, how you doing today?
Pretty good. How are you?
We are fantastic, man. I have to say, man, you...
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Been very impressive the second half of this season. You seem to be up on the bump with a lot of confidence. What's feeding into the success that you've had in the second half of this season?
Yeah, I think settling in a little bit, you know, kind of got those first couple start jitters out of the way earlier in the season and, you know, just made a point of emphasis for the All-Star break that we were going to come back and we were going to try and dominate. So, and it's gone pretty well so far. A couple hiccups along the way, but hopefully start getting a little more consistent and a little deeper in games.
Cal, I'm imagining that you've always been a pretty confident guy and a pretty confident pitcher. I mean, to work and do what you've done at Stanford and to be a number one draft pick and get into the big leagues. But once you get drafted, do you kind of have to start that process all over again in terms of finding that confidence to be a major league pitcher? Or did you have a bunch of that stuff already?
Oh, definitely. I feel like... baseball, there's a ton of restarts along the way. You know, it's when you're young, it's every time you move up an age division, right? You're right back to the bottom. And then it's you get to high school and you want to make the varsity team. And then you get to college and you don't want to sit your freshman year. It kind of goes on and on. Minor leagues, every up level, you kind of have to do the same thing. So I think that, you know, you kind of carry a certain amount of confidence with you. And that comes with, you know, success and playing well and practicing hard. But like you said, you kind of fall right down to the bottom of the line every single time you move up. It's a funny system. So you kind of got to figure out your way at each level and then kind of get back to, you know, what you were doing the level before.
Kyle, I was sitting on the field before you guys left, and I was talking to Brock Ungridge, who was one of your college coaches at Stanford. I know him very well. And the word that he kept using was bulldog. And I haven't just heard that from him. I've started to hear that around major league circles. Where does that mindset, that attitude come from?
I mean, I think it's just kind of how I was always taught to play baseball. I've said it before. I'll say it again. I always loved hockey growing up. I just wasn't good enough at it. So I kind of tried to bring that like hockey mindset to baseball because I think that there's some freak athletes in that sport, and the way they approach their work is, in my opinion, one of the, you know, the best ways I've ever seen it done. So for me, it's like when I get on the mound, it's a battle. I want to win the battle. I hate losing more than I like winning. So find a way not to do it.
I tell you what, I think taking things from hockey players is a pretty smart move. I mean, I broadcast a hockey team for about 10 years.
Most underrated athlete in all sports.
And these guys are incredible athletes, the way they play and the way they go about their business. And I'm curious, what were you not good enough at in hockey when you look back on it? Because that sounds like it was one of your first loves.
Yeah, I was decent. I played through high school. In the end, I just don't think I was going to be a good enough skater to hang with the big dogs.
It's incredible how good you guys can skate, though. I mean, come on.
It's wild. I mean, I got some buddies still playing now, and I laugh every time I go home. They want me to get on the ice, and I'm like, number one, don't think I'm allowed to, but number two, I don't want to be embarrassed. So I just leave my hockey achievements in the past. We'll pretend that I was pretty decent.
Cal, I got a chance to get to know you a little bit during our Padres POV segment. And one of the things that I guess I should have known, but I didn't know if you were old enough, but you spent a lot of time in the clubhouse. You were telling me you were there pretty much every day during the summertime. Talk a little bit about that experience and how that's prepared you for being at the big league level.
Yeah, I pretty much from when I could walk to when he retired, I was hanging around the clubhouse as often as they'd let me, so. It was always good being on a winning team because if the team won, you were allowed to go down to the clubhouse. But if the team lost, you weren't. So,
you had the same rules, Tony?
Same rules. They had to be winning in order for you to get down there.
Okay.
Yeah, wins were good. And wins meant you got to go down and hang out with Pops. So, no, I loved it. It was a unique way to grow up. Definitely, you know, found my love for the sport, kind of being around it for so long when I was young, but also being around some winning teams and seeing how they operated probably doesn't hurt. In the end, you know, there's a lot of learning I have to do on my own at this level, but it's not the worst thing in the world having, you know, a little bit of an idea of what's going on.
Cal Quantrill is with us, the Padres pitcher, our Friar Friday guest on the SDCCU fan hotline. And I'm sure everybody knows your dad, Paul, pitched in the big leagues for 14 years. But for those who don't, I just wanted to remind some of our listeners. And I'm just curious, look, my dad did not pitch in the major leagues. But I was a pitcher growing up, and of course, he followed every step of my career, and he was always there with some advice for me. And, you know, for a guy that didn't pitch in the big leagues, he was pretty smart about pitching. But I'm just curious what kind of advice your dad gave you and how he kind of tried to make sure he didn't do too much. I mean, and make you allow you to become your own person and not be too overbearing, because I could imagine that could be something that might happen.
Yeah, well, I mean, I never really felt a ton of pressure to play a bit, to even play baseball, honestly. Like, I played whatever sport I wanted to growing up. I joined whatever teams or clubs or whatever I wanted to do. I don't think I really felt like it was a family business. Honestly, I just fell in love with the sport, fell in love with the game. Obviously, being around it all the time doesn't hurt, but I don't think that he really pushed for it. Once I showed that I had the interest, then he started giving me more. So it was always kind of what I wanted. If I want feedback, I'll text him. If not, he knows not to text me. So we've kind of worked out our relationship. And you know what? Honestly, 90% of the time we're on the same page. You know, you go up, you have a stinker, and you let up a bunch of runs. There's not a whole lot that needs to be said. You know, I know what I did wrong. I know that it didn't work. And, you know, take a couple of days, you figure it out. And then if you want to get a hold of them and, you know, talk through a couple, you know, mechanical things, that's fine. But I think that we've kind of worked a really good baseball relationship out.
I think that's kind of the common answer from most sons of former big leaguers, because I think dads understand how difficult it is to be at that level. They know.
But it's not a common answer for every kid.
Not
whose
for every
dad,
kid.
You know, is a baseball fan. So I it's great to hear that.
Cal, I have to ask you, because a lot of your fellow starters in the rotation are under innings limitations, and you're one of the few that gets to go out there, and you don't really seemingly have any limitations when you're out there, unless you're not throwing the ball well. Is it a little bit freer going out there knowing that you're going to be able to grind through an inning that maybe, you know, a guy like Chris Paddock, maybe Joey Lucchesi, those guys may not be allowed to? Is it a little bit freer going out there knowing that?
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, in the end, I think it's the coolest and toughest part about being a starting pitcher is that when it's your day to pitch, you're the most important guy on the field. If you go out and you stink and you let up 12, there's nothing nothing Manny can do. There's nothing Tatis can do. All the big studs, they can't save you. So I think that it's like when you have that on your shoulders, that's a blessing. That's awesome. It's also tough. But in the end, if you're going to take that responsibility on, it's nice knowing that you're walking out there with no limits. You know, it's you against whoever you're playing, and it's as long as you can possibly last, keep the team in the game, you know, and go out and give your team a chance to win. So I think that it's awesome. I've worked hard to get to that point post-surgery, and, you know, I'm happy to be given that responsibility now.
Cal Quantrill's pitched great ball for the Padres, certainly the second half of this season, joins us on the SDCCU fan hotline. Last thing for me, Cal, I'm sure you're most focused on your next start, because that's the way it works. But I also imagine you kind of look ahead. And with this team, the second half of the season has been disappointing to a certain extent. Do you feel like any of the confidence that this team had built in the first half of the season has dissipated, or has some of this lack of success made everybody a little hungrier?
Yeah, I don't think anybody's lost, you know, the will to win or thinks any lesser of our team, at least on the team. I think, you know, we've been battling a little bit the second half, and that's part of growing up. And I mean, I can't speak as a veteran because I'm not, but I know that we're all going through some learning curves. And to be completely honest, it's better that we do this now. It's better that we get these tough ones out of the way. And when we show up, you know, for every game going forward, we know that we've learned a lesson from the game before. And don't get me wrong, every single game we're playing now means just as much to us as the games that are happening in the first half. Winning is so much better than losing.
No doubt about it.
It's hard to even explain that any other way. So we're still out here winning games as good as we can, but I think that we're also learning from our mistakes and, you know, trying to get better every day.
No doubt about it. Very well answered there, Cal. We're going to let you get out of here. You know, you guys probably got about an hour and a half before BP starts. Good luck tonight. Thanks for coming on, Gwen and Chris, and we'll chat soon.
Sounds good.
Nice talking with you, Cal.
All right, that was Cal Quantrill joining us on the SDCCU Fan Hotline. SDCCU has auto loan rates at low as 3.15% APR, and low rates means low payments. Apply today at SDCCU.com.
All right, our Friar Friday interview, Cal Quantrill. Best of luck to him down the stretch. I think for sure he's in the starting rotation next year. I think Paddock's in the rotation next year. Lamet. Lucchese, Richards, Lauer.
You always forget about that Garrett Richards.
I did not. I just said
his
name.
I know. I'm saying like most people do.
Most people forget about him. Well, I just don't think that you can go with those five or six guys. You better add to that if you're going to be where you want to be next year. Because, I mean, I think Quantrill's been good, but... And Paddock's shown flashes of being good. And Lamed has had, I think, one good start. He's pitching tonight.
He almost had a no-hitter.
Yeah, I know. One good start. That's what he had.
I'm just adding.
The rest of it for Lamed has been pretty mediocre. My point is who is going to be your ace next year?
I mean, it's got to be Chris Paddock. It has to be. He's shown the best stuff.
You hope it is. All right, we got one segment left in the program. And it'll be a short segment because we're leading into Padre pregame. Denelson Lamet taking on Madison Bumgarner tonight.
Ooh, that is a great matchup.
Off the charts. Gwen and Chris, 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.